It is so good to know God. So good to know the truth of Jesus, what He did for us. Well, we're going to kind of go on the heels of the last series. I believe we're going to start a new series today. We just got done with being a doer of the word, series we call Doers of the Word. So I want to start, I want to just kind of hook up with where we left off last week. If you didn't, If you didn't hear last week's message or the last series, I encourage you to go back, listen to it. It will be a blessing to you. That's why we have those up there. The messages are online at the link in your bulletin. They're not at the main media page, but if you put the link, that link in your bulletin into your browser and bookmark it, then you can get right there. That's the archive page. All the messages are there. But last week, we got into some things in this Doers of the Word series. I want to start there, but recap a little bit about what we said, but I think we're really going in a little bit of a new direction. Let's, for the sake of time, let's just look on your sheet, James 1:22. This was our last text. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." This one will be blessed in what he does. What's this one? The one that does the word. The doer will be blessed, and we spent several weeks on that. It's not the hearer only, it's the doer. Well, last week we talked about these verses we're about to read in Luke and in Matthew. This example Jesus gave, where a man, he said, doing the word, hearing his sayings, Jesus saying, Jesus is the Son of God, he is God, and his word is the word of God. He said, if you do my sayings, it's like this. Look at Luke 6. Let's just look on your sheet again there. Luke 6, 46 says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" He said, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them," see, talking about the same thing like in James, "I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So Jesus is saying, the man that does the word, hears the word and does it, he's like somebody that built his house on a rock, and there was a storm, and the house stood. And then he said, the person that heard it did nothing with it. Said it's like that person built a house on the earth, that is, without a foundation, and then the stream beat vehemently against it, and it fell. Now look at Matthew. Matthew 7, verse 24, there on your sheet. This is another account of the same example Jesus gave. You get a little bit different information. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? Does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now look on your sheet, and just look at the way the verses, I've underlined certain parts, and then you can see the structure of verses 24 and 25, and then verses 26 and 27, the two different accounts. And you can see, when they're put against each other, you know, what Jesus is saying and what's different between the two things. So verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, is the first part of 24. Look at the first part of 26. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. So what's different so far? One person did them, one person did not do them, right? Okay, now go to the next part of verse 24. He said, so the person that does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now go down to verse 26. So everybody that does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So what do you have so far? The guy that heard him and did him, he's wise, and it's like he built his house on the rock, right? The guy that heard him, so they both heard him, right? But the second guy did not do him. He is like a foolish man, and his house is like, it's like he built his house on the sand, right? So you got two guys, heard the word. One guy says, I'm going to do him. He does him. The other guy says, not going to do him. So now the guy that did him, called wise, like he built his house on the rock. The guy that didn't do him, fool, built his house on the sand. But other than that, same thing, right? It's the same start. Now look at the next part, verse 25. Then the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. So this is the house that was built on the rock, right? Now look at verse 27. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Now tell me the difference between those two sections. There's no differences. The same thing happened to both people. Now just notice the next part in verse 25. So all the rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house, and what? It did not fall, and for it was founded on the rock. Now next, look at the verse 27. So the rains descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house, and what? It fell. And great was its fall. So, we got the guy. We got both of them heard the word. Heard the word of God. One did it. He's called wise, like he had his house built on a rock. All the storm came, his house stood because it was built on the rock. Got a guy, heard the word, did not do it, called a fool. It's like his house was built just on the sand. The storm came, his house collapsed. What was the difference? Go back way up to the beginning. They both heard the word. One did it, one did not. But notice the same storm came to both of them. We spent some time on that last week, but that's really where I want to focus on some of that today, but I want to bring a thought in here before we get there. Psalm 46 on your sheet there. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in what? Trouble. Now, I don't love that word. Does anybody just love trouble?
No.
But it's here. God is our refuge and strength when you just don't have anything wrong going on and it's smooth sailing and your legs are kicked up by the lake there and you got your favorite drink next to you and you're sipping and you know it's a beautiful day. God is your refuge and strength there. It's true, but that's not what he's talking about. He said a very present help. Where? Where? In trouble. Now, when I think of where I want to go, in general, it's not in trouble. In fact, you know, I got back from Pennsylvania a few weeks ago. Almost said years again. But that was true, too, because I've been going for a while. But I have that on my background on my computer. So like when I'm doing presentations, that's what comes up before I do that. The view from our cabin up on the hill. So everybody always sees that. I'm going to refresh the picture because I took new pictures. I did last year too, but I just didn't update them. But I got some beautiful ones of a sunset and things. So I'm going to put that up. But everybody always asks me, where's that? Is that Nebraska? No, that's Pennsylvania. That's where we go. So everybody knows I go to Pennsylvania that, and that we go there. Well, honestly, we got back home, and I'm like, I'm thankful to be home. This is a happy place. This is, you know, if you know God, you don't have to look and just, wait, do I just get off into this place? Because really, if I look forward to, I mean, I do look forward to being in Pennsylvania, but I really don't want to be there right now. I was just there for 2 weeks, and when we got done, we were ready to come back. Mm-hmm. That's a good place to be. Yeah. Where you're ready, you're charged up, you say, let's get back to it. And I don't want to be there right now. Had enough pie, had enough chicken. Mashed potatoes like Thanksgiving every day, you know, but it's all good. Don't really want it right now. Had enough of it. You know, I love the country there. I don't want to be there right now. I want to be here doing what God has called me to do. But you know what? I know I'll be back there soon. Be back to that retreat. And I know, hey, that's 49 weeks away. Yeah, we're going to put it on our refrigerator. It's good to have these things. But you know what? If that was the only place, I was like, I can't be happy unless I'm in there in that cabin. Well, I have a sorry life. I'm going to be miserable a whole lot of the time. So you don't want to look off in the future. Oh, I just wish I could be there. And no, you're missing out on what's going on here. Well, it's just not perfect. Well, it's not perfect there either. If you think about it, it's really in what you focus on. No, we can enjoy, if you know the Spirit of God, you can be at peace, I should say, in any situation, even if stuff is going on around you. But verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of a sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. We covered these verses last time, just kind of segueing into this new area that we are in. But it says, God is our refuge and strength, where? Very present help in trouble. Psalm 62, verse 1 on your sheet there. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Why do you need a defense? Need a defense when you're on vacation sitting there and nothing's happening, right? No, you may, but I mean, you need a defense when stuff's going down. He is my only rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. You talk about being greatly moved when you're just on vacation there. Oh, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved. And you're just chilling and you don't have anything going on. No, that's not when people usually use that language. I'm not going to be moved when stuff is going on. The thought I want to bring to you today that we started last time, but I really want to emphasize, stuff is going to go on. There is going to be trouble in this life. There are going to be storms and challenges. You say, that's a bad confession. You shouldn't say that. No, it's the truth. You can say it. You cannot say it. Stuff's still going to come. Say, don't say that. I didn't say you would go under in the storm, in the challenge. What do we read in the two accounts in Luke and Matthew? The storm came to the one that ended up doing the word. The storm came to the one that was doing the sayings. Go back there real quick. Look at Matthew 7. Just lay your eyes on it before we go further. Matthew 7, 24. Now, just read this. We just got done reading, but look at it before we go. Matthew 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. This man's doing the word of God. Is he not?
Yes.
He's doing the word. That says his house is like it's built on the rock. Did it say, therefore, it was calm the rest of his life? Nothing ever came to that house. Is that what the next verse says? Because I'll tell you, people get this idea. I said people get the idea that nothing bad, if you've heard the word of God and you've heard the word on faith and believing God, you will never have another problem in your life. If you've ever heard that, because you have not heard that from me, that is not the Bible. Now, the Bible does, and we're going to see some stuff. The Bible does not tell us that all stuff that happens is from God. And that it is God's will for your life, just whatever happens. We could spend time on that. We're not going to. But that's just not true. There's all kinds of stuff that's happening that is not the will of God. Number one, people are going to hell. Is that the will of God? No. The Bible says that he does not will that any should perish. Huh? No, it's not his will they're going to hell, but you know what? It's happening. People are going to the same destination that Satan himself, the punishment he will have, everybody that listens to his lies and deception is going to have the same fate, not because God is sending people there, because it's man's choice and they reject Jesus, and this is what happens. That's not God's will, but it will happen. At the same point, there are things that are happening on this earth. Huh? We talked about it a little earlier. There's all kinds of junk happening right now that men are doing, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with the will of God.
Amen.
Murder, rape, poverty, destruction, famine. That is not the will of God. Okay, let's make that clear. Those things are not God. That's because it's a cursed world. We're not under a curse as Christians, but the world is. The world, because Adam gave in to Satan and he yielded, it brought, the Bible says that the ground's cursed. The world is groaning up under sin. So we live in a fallen world, and Satan is called the god of this world. And there are men that listen to him whether they know it or not. The world system, the influence of evil is here, and there is destruction as a result of it. So things come on this earth that are not the will of God. They are storms that come. Because you're here, you live here, and it's a world that is not the way God originally created it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So stuff happens. It's not God doing it, but it happens. Whether you believe the word or not, stuff comes. Now, qualify that. That doesn't mean you thank God for what comes. That doesn't mean he's sending it. Because some people go the other way and they'll say, yes, everything that God that happens is the will of God and we just have to accept it. You know, my baby died of some terrible disease, but God took him away. That is a lie. That is perverse. That is calling God a murderer. He's not. That's not true. See, that's a deception. People have said, well, stuff happens. Why do good things or bad things happen to good people? Like it's a deep question. It's not a deep question. You live in a cursed world. Stuff's going to happen. This is a question. Is it going to take you down or not? Because it does not say here that the storm took the guy out that was standing on the word. In fact, quite the opposite. It stood. His house stood. That's the difference. Some people say, well, you can't do anything about it. If it's the will of God, you know, cancer has come to your life. And that you, if it's God's will, just yield to God's will. No, that is a lie. There are people in the world that are not Christians that have more sense than that. They're going to fight. People know instinctively disease is not good. It's evil. It's wicked. Something that steals the life of your loved one or steals your mobility, steals your ability to get things done for God is wicked. You need help to believe anything else. Somebody has to help you misunderstand the truth that God is good. Because people in the natural, even people that say they believe everything is the will of God and that this sickness must just be the will of God, will go to the doctor and do everything in their power to get rid of the sickness. That's a contradiction. Amen. If you believe that it's from God, then just take what you have coming to you. Amen. And be perfectly in the will of God. Get all the correction and everything then. But no, that people don't believe it. Not really. Why? Because if my loved one is suffering, you bet I'm going to do everything within my power to eliminate that suffering. Huh? No, my child is just hurting and, you know, screaming with pain, but, you know, this is just the will of God. Are you kidding me? Makes me mad. God is doing that to your child? Would you do that to your child? God forbid people say, impute this type of nonsense to our good Father. He's good. Would you sit around and somebody talks about your husband or wife, said, yeah, they're a killer, they're a murderer. They kill little children. That's what people say about God every day. And call it church. It's religion. It's not the Word of God. It's not our good God. He's not doing it. There is an enemy. There is a devil. There is destruction. And that is the number one thing Satan wants you to believe, is that it's God, while he goes around stealing, killing, and destroying. We need to read the book, the Bible. A Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not the Lord God. So yes, we live with this stuff. The storms come, but they're not God's will. A tornado comes through. Hurricane comes through. Well, that's just the act of God. That's ignorance. I know it's on insurance companies' statements. It's ignorant. That's not God. Like we said a few weeks ago, when the storm came to Jesus, he calmed it. He said, peace be still. If it's from God, then he just told the act of God, his Father, he just contradicted what God was doing, what his Father was doing. No. There are storms that come, kill people. Well, we just don't know why this happened. God must have had a purpose. That's not true. But these things happen. As far as the storm comes, there's a difference between a storm coming and a storm coming and destroying your property. Is it? There's a difference between a storm coming and a storm killing somebody. So it says here, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. Notice, the man did the word, the storm came, but he did not fall. The house did not fall. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The storm came. Person did not believe God, did not do the word, and then the house fell. There are people all over the world that are ignorant about what we're talking about right here. And their houses are falling. Their lives are crumbling. And then people ignorantly would say, well, I guess it was God. No, it's not God. It's not God. But the thing, these storms come. The storms come. There is trouble in this earth. We live in a curse-filled world. We're dealing with an enemy. We're dealing with people that don't listen to God all the time. So I want that part is what I'm focusing on today. I want to spend some time in Psalm 91. But before we do that, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 2. Or 2 Corinthians 2. Go ahead and turn there. Second Corinthians 2, verse 14. Hallelujah. You guys believing with me? Yes. Everybody there? Or it's on your sheet? Second Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Through us manifests the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. But the first part says, "Now thanks be to God who," what? What's that word that starts with an A? "Always leads us in triumph in Christ." Look at your sheet. The God's Word translation says, "But I thank God who always leads us in victory because of Christ." He leads us in victory. The title of our series, I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's called The Spirit of Victory. The Spirit of Victory. It says, "But I thank God who always leads us in victory because of Christ." Now, we could go into a few more things there, but I want to touch on that. We're going to go through Psalms. What I want to focus on today is there are storms, okay? There are trials in this life, but don't get a religious hat on and think, yeah, there are just trials. It's so hard. No, the Bible, what we just read in 2 Corinthians, is He always leads us in triumph. Always leads us in victory. What does always mean?
Always.
Except this time it's going to take you out. That's not always. And guess what? Even if something took you out, if you're a Christian, you did not lose. You're in the presence of Almighty God. So you don't lose no matter what. "Well, I'm just afraid to die." No, you are going to be in the presence of Almighty God. That's not losing. So that's the worst thing. So there's other things on this earth. Well, if there's things you're going to go through, now, this is where we need to look and say, God said, "Always, I'm winning, always. There may be a trial, but I'm coming over." This is the spirit of victory. This is the spirit of faith. God does not win. I mean, He does not lose. Ever. Ever. You know what His record is? I don't know what it is in the wins column, but I know what it is in the loss column. He does not lose. Well, you know, you win some, lose some. Not Him. Tell me whose child you are if you're born again, believed on Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Whose child are you? God Almighty. Well, we're in the family then. If our Father says we win, okay, we win. We win. But this looks so bad. Is that God's attitude? Do you think God ever comes up against something and says, "Ooh, this is a tough one"? Looks at Michael and says, "Dude, I don't know. This might be it. Never seen this. It's never been this bad." I mean, I've been around forever. Never seen it messed up this bad. Huh? No. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. I said it's never going to happen. Because He is the King. He's the Almighty. And we're His children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't say stuff is not going to come. If you're going to win, if you're going to have a victory, what did that mean? I had a great victory today. I just sat at home, had my feet kicked up. I was watching a movie, eating chocolate pie. It was a great victory. Where was the victory? Just, you know, just chilling. No, you had to have a victory, you had to win over something, right? Yep. Something. There was a challenge, right? See, we want the victory, but we like, I don't want the challenge. I don't want the nonsense, but well, this is where we find out what we believe. God's not sending it. Don't get me. No, there are stuff here, but we can hoop and holler in here and amen and hallelujah and say, you know, God is faithful. And then something hits us, a circumstance of life. Be like, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I don't know how we're going to make it. This is big. This is huge. I don't know anybody that's made it through. Do you know God? Do you know God? Well, then you know the answer. If you know Him, no matter what. See, if we know Him, doesn't matter what's in front of us. It does not matter what the problem is. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. Because His record is, He always wins. Did it not say? 2 Corinthians 2:14, what did it say? Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Always. Always. So what do you know about the thing in front of you? If you choose to believe Him, what do you know? You're going to win. Huh? What did we look at with the two houses? If you're going to do the word, then your house goes under anyway, right? Because, you know, you tried to believe, but, you know, that's all just a bunch of hocus pocus anyway, so you're just going to end up like everybody else. Is that what the word said? No. It's not what it said. So the challenge comes. Okay? The Bible does not teach us that we won't have any challenges. Oh, I wish it were different. I wish. And if you find a verse, you tell me. But I don't think, I know. There is not verses that tell us, son, daughter of God, thou wilt not ever have a challenge in life. It will be serene and peaceful. But I did read, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You think you're going to feel something when you walk there? Yes. Does that sound like nothing is going on? No. But then, even and then, I won't fear any evil. I'm coming over. There's a difference. Yep. This is a big deal. Because people get the idea that if you know God and you believe and you've listened to some messages on faith, you're never going to have another problem. That's not true. You have a problem, a challenge, now you apply the word and you act on what God said. This is not a game. This is not a religious exercise. This isn't like, well, this is what we said to do it. We're going to try it. Let's see if it works. No, it is life and death. There is a devil that wants to kill. And he will. The Bible says he goes about seeking whom he may devour. That means in I believe it's 2 Peter, 1 or 2 Peter 5. That means he can't devour everyone. If he could just do whatever he wants, if he's just the big bad dude, why don't he just go around and just take us all out now? Answer, he can't. But he will if he can. We deal with some junk here on the earth, but it doesn't have to take us out. Let's turn over to Psalm 91. I want to spend some more time. That's where we're going. That's the backdrop. Wanted to give you that before we got into Psalm 91 some more, because I've already told you, yeah, we're going to have some issues. We're going to have... And that's not saying bad things. That means if you have a challenge, don't think it weird. Ooh, I must have done something wrong. Well, not necessarily. People get the idea somehow, I'm not going to face stuff, but that's just not what the Bible says. Psalm 91 talks a whole lot about a lot of stuff going on. Everybody there? It's on your sheet too. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Surely He will deliver you? Well, if you have to be delivered, something's going on. Huh? You know, you don't have to be delivered, again, if everything's just going hunky-dory. You know, in all those fairy tale movies, the damsel doesn't just sit in there minding her own business in the middle of her house, you know, doing whatever princess or damsel thing she's doing around her house, and then tell the prince, oh, I'm so thankful you delivered me. Delivered me from what? The guy shows up and says, I'm here to deliver you. I don't know, deliver you from what? You know, cleaning the house or doing what, you know, maybe Cinderella. What? But there's no delivery. I'm here to deliver you. Well, don't have anything going on. You might have the wrong house, wrong person. No, there's always a problem. It doesn't, you know, never mind, I'm not going to say that. But yeah, in these movies, these fairy tales, there's always something, and there's some wicked lady or stepmother or some evil person that messes with the princess or whoever, and then there's some guy that goes and saves her. But there's always an issue that needs to be delivered. If you don't need to be delivered, then if there's no issue, there's no delivery, right? Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. See, some Christians are going, well, I just, you know, nothing should ever happen. And then, this is the problem. Now, I'm going to say that in a minute, in a little bit. Look at this, verse 3. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Disease. Perilous. Pestilence. Plague. Disease. It's there. But what? Not ever going to come? No, it says He'll deliver you from it. There's a difference. Verse 4, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Why are you taking refuge? You take refuge when there's something going on, right? You don't take refuge, you know, when everything's hunky-dory. Time to take refuge. You know, you used to have these bomb shelters. When do you take refuge? When there's a bomb going to be dropped. Not just, that's going to go hang out in the bomb shelter. Take refuge from what? You insert all kinds of things there. But anyway, my wife's mad at me or something. I'm going to take refuge in the bomb shelter. But that's not what the bomb shelter's for. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth. Notice that. His truth. What did we read when Jesus was talking about the man that built his house on the rock? He said, if you hear my sayings and do it, my truth. and you do them, what's going to be your shield? The truth, acting on the truth like we talked about, that will be the shield, right? The storm came to both, but the shield was, we know the truth and we're going to act on it. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. It didn't say there is no terror by night. There is no arrow that flies. It didn't say that. It said you won't be afraid of them. Nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. There are all kinds of stuff people are scared of in this day and age. Stuff happening. Stuff is happening in the world. Crazy people. And there's a lot of fear. If you don't have God, there's a big reason to be afraid. But if you have God, see, we're not without God. And no work of the enemy is going to take out a child of God unless you don't know who you are. And it is important to listen to him. It's important to be where you're supposed to be. Now, don't get legalistic about it. Thank God for the mercy of God and the grace. That's what I'm talking about. But, guys, we live in a world where there is stuff happening all the time. We should not play fast and loose with being where God wants us to be. This is not the time to say, it doesn't really matter where I go. God's there. God, and he could be leading you over here to avoid you getting here. And if you're not listening to him, now, don't be afraid. Don't let that strike fear in your heart. If there's fear, that's not of God. But there is a truth. God knows how to communicate with you. If you'll be sensitive, if you'll listen, if you'll look at the Word, be open to him, you'll be in the right place at the right time. But it's important to train our spirits. It's important to listen to him. It's important to do what we know to do. Like I said, this is not a game. Stuff happens because it's going to happen. And some people get taken out and then people act all smug. You know, somebody that was supposed to be following God and they got taken out early. And people would be all, well, see, that doesn't work. Look at that person. That happened to them. Do you know everything that was going on in their life? Do you know the decisions they made? Do you know what God was telling them to do and they avoided? Because what are you saying? God failed? God just couldn't? No. God is just and true. We are going to face some stuff, but we need to know him. We need to act on what we know. We need to be open. But there is stuff going on. Verse 7. I mean, look at this. This can easily happen now. 1,000 may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand. Does that sound like nothing's going on? I mean, this is a massive destruction. Could be worse, but this is pretty big. 1,000. Listen, I mean, 1,000 people just got taken out over here. 10,000 just got taken out over here. Does that sound like nothing's going on? That's destruction. That's stuff happening. But it shall not come near you. God did not say nothing is going to happen. It said we need to know what the word, you need to know this word. And when stuff starts happening, you say, oh no, that's not coming near my household. That, I have a right. I know God. And that stuff can come right by you and whiz by and, you know, blow your hair and you're standing. I'm not talking about a movie. We're talking about the Bible. Said, it shall not come near you, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. In other words, you're going to see people that are being destroyed. You know, with the account that, or the example we read that Jesus was saying, house here, house there, same storm, one goes down, one stays. Could be next door neighbors. Now that's talking about a house, but could be anything. One person's life is destroyed right next to yours. You're spared. One person's lives, their marriage falls apart. Kids fall apart. Yours, strong, healthy, goes on. But notice, these are storms. These are things happening. This is not a cakewalk. Stuff's happening. Wish we could just be in our houses and come to church. Oh, now we know the truth. Nothing will ever happen. No, storms will be there. But God will bring us through every one and on top if we'll look to Him. But as we're looking to this, the point I want to get over to you today is this is real, okay? This is the reality. There are challenges in life. That you're going to find out what you believe when you come face to face with something that's a challenge in your life, either physically, you know, in your job, whatever, stuff comes up. Now you got to know, do I just, you know, I believe this stuff in church, I parrot it, but you know, why is this happening to me? Is that going to be the response? Because that's a common response. See, if you think everything's up to God, then if stuff happens, then you start saying, well, God, why did you let this happen? That's the wrong question. And now what you're doing is you're saying somehow God's responsible for your destruction. What we're supposed to say is, this is a storm. God already told me what to do. I will come through it. I will win. And you realize He's at your back. He's not attacking you. He is with you. It makes all the difference in the world how you go through something. Didn't say it wouldn't come. If it comes, you know what to do. You hit it head on, say, God is on my side. God has already said He will give me the victory. He already knows the answer, and we're coming through. That's the spirit of victory. That's the spirit of, I'm not going down. You're not taking me out. Nothing's taking me out. Hallelujah. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So you say, well, that says nothing will befall me. That means if something comes at you, you say, no, this is illegal. Do you understand the difference? Some people are using this and say, so, oh, something showed up. That means the word of God doesn't work. That's the same thing as if there's a law, you have posted no trespassing on the four corners of your property and somebody comes over it. You don't just say, oh, I guess it doesn't work. No, you enforce the law. Right? So wait a minute. That's not going to stand. You don't just let somebody barge in your house and start doing stuff and taking, well, I guess I just couldn't stop it. No, you kick them out off your property. Amen. You get the police involved if you need to. You say, you're out of line. You use force if necessary to protect yourself, right? Amen. You don't just say, well, it doesn't work. God, I don't want you to let me happen to me. I don't know. I'm going back to bed. And the guy's raiding your house. No, you don't do that. You stand up and say, get out of here. Huh? So it says, no evil shall befall you. So what if something comes? No. Not going to fly here. Well, why would you do that? Because you know something. Why would you stand up to it when all the world around you is going, well, it's the will of God. We can't do anything. No, because you know the word. Tell me, which house is going to stand. The one that heard the truth and did it. You got to hear the truth first. If you think the truth is that God puts disease on your baby, you're not going to stand up and say no. But if you know the truth, that that's not the will of God, then we have to stand up and enforce the will of God. No evil shall befall you, verse 7, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. They'll protect you. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent shall trample. You shall trample underfoot. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. Now this is God speaking. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Notice this. This goes along with what we're saying. God is looking down and said, he's known me. He's done my truth. He has believed me. That is what enables God to work on our behalf. Did you hear me?
Yes.
That's why the house stands. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I might answer him if I feel like it, if it's my will. We already know what his will is. This word is his will. If we see it in the Bible, we don't have to ask questions about it. We know it's his will to protect us, so you don't say, well, I guess it just wasn't his will. That person just died. I don't know why he sent that tornado. He did not send it. He didn't do that. We got to know, no, it's coming toward me, but no, it won't take me out. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him. Where?
In trouble.
Thought there wasn't supposed to be any trouble. In the middle of stuff going down, he's there. He said, I will what? Deliver him and honor him. Because you've put the God Almighty in the forefront. He said, I'll honor you. And in a different place it says, those that honor me, I will honor.
Amen.
With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Right there. Anything that rises its head and said it's going to take you out in any way, you say, oh no, the Bible said with long life. Well, I just don't know. It might be my time. You're going to die at some point, but if you don't have long life, that's not the promise of God. You're not believing the right thing. He said he'd always cause us to triumph. But there are challenges. Why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet?